Welcome to episode 1096 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Imagine a world where human civilization is rapidly advancing. Cities are being built, cultures are flourishing, people are growing in strength and influence. Yet beneath the surface, corruption spreads like a disease, twisting what was meant for good into something dark. Power is abused, morality cast aside, and an ominous presence lurks in the background, hinting at something far more sinister than mere human ambition. This is the picture Genesis 6 paints of the pre-flood world. Genesis 6 verses 1 and 2. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Who were these mysterious sons of God, and why does this passage mark a turning point in history? More than just an ancient mystery, this passage reveals profound truths about spiritual compromise, unchecked ambition, and the consequences of a world that abandons God. This passage of Scripture is one of the most debated passages in the Old Testament, with scholars and theologians proposing different interpretations about the identity of the sons of God and the daughters of men. One popular interpretation is the fallen angels or supernatural view. This interpretation holds the sons of God were fallen angels, demons, who took human women as wives, resulting in the birth of the Nephilim, a race of giants or powerful beings. This unnatural union is believed to be one of the key reasons for the extreme wickedness that led to the flood. The Hebrew phrase, sons of God, appears in three different passages in the book of Job, where it clearly refers to angelic beings. If the same term is used consistently for angels elsewhere, it strengthens the case that the sons of God in Genesis 6 also refer to angels. Jude verses 6 and 7 speaks of angels who did not stay within their own position of authority and are now bound in eternal chains. Some scholars link this to Genesis 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 4 and 5 refers to angels who sinned and were cast into hell, immediately connecting their sin with the time of Noah, suggesting a link to Genesis 6. The book of Vorst Enoch, an ancient Jewish text, expands on Genesis 6, detailing how a group of fallen angels called Watchers took human wives, leading to the birth of giant offspring. While not considered scripture, this book was influential in Second Temple Jewish thought and was quoted in Jude, showing that this view was widely accepted in early Judaism. And then, we have the Nephilim. Genesis 6 verse 4 states that the Nephilim were mighty men of old, men of renown. Some argue that if the Nephilim were simply normal humans, they wouldn't be described in such unusual terms. In the Gospels, Jesus states that angels neither marry nor are given in marriage in heaven. However, proponents of this position argue that Jesus' teaching on this matter applies to holy angels in heaven, not to fallen angels who rebelled. Critics assert that spiritual beings cannot physically reproduce, and clearly angels are spirit beings. However, angels have taken human form in the Bible, which suggests they can interact with the material world. Some scholars modify this view by suggesting that demons possessed human rulers, leading them to take multiple wives and commit great evil. Another strongly held view is the Sethite, or human lineage view. This interpretation sees the sons of God as descendants of Seth, the righteous lineage, and the daughters of men as descendants of Cain, the wicked lineage. According to this view, the passage describes the intermarriage of believers and unbelievers, leading to moral corruption. The Bible calls God's people sons of God. We see this in Deuteronomy 14:1. You are the sons of the Lord your God. Again in Hosea chapter 1 verse 10. You are sons of the living God. This suggests that godly men, Seth's line, could be referred to as sons of God. Genesis 4 records Cain's descendants, associated with moral corruption. Genesis 5 describes Seth's descendants, linked to righteousness, culminating in Enoch and Noah. Genesis 6, verses 1 and 2 could indicate that Seth's line began to intermarry with Cain's lineage, leading to moral compromise. Unlike the fallen angels' view, this interpretation does not require supernatural hybrid beings. The Nephilim are seen as mighty warriors, not literal hybrids. Still, there are objections to the Sethite view. Nowhere in the Old Testament is the term sons of God explicitly used to refer to Seth's descendants. If this was the intended meaning, why not just say sons of Seth? Why would their children be giants? If this was simply intermarriage between two human groups, why does Genesis 6 verse 4 describe the offspring as mighty and renowned? The moral decline seems too sudden. The passage implies major societal corruption, not just intermarriage. Yet, despite the objections, this view aligns with the biblical theme of believers being called to remain separate from the world. It teaches that when God's people intermarry with the wicked, their faith is compromised, leading to societal collapse. A third view is the tyrant king's view. This interpretation suggests that the sons of God were powerful rulers or kings who practiced polygamy and oppression, taking any women they desired. In many ancient cultures, kings were often considered sons of the gods. The Bible occasionally refers to kings as sons of God, as in Psalm 2:7. Rather than referring to marriage, took wives could imply the forcible taking of women as part of royal harems. This fits with the theme of pre-flood violence and lawlessness. This interpretation avoids the supernatural problems of the fallen angels' view. Still, unlike other ancient texts, Genesis does not call human rulers sons of God. How would kings producing children lead to mighty men of renown? There is still another hybrid view that suggests that the sons of God were not fallen angels themselves, but demon-possessed men, possibly powerful rulers, who took multiple wives and led humanity into greater sin. It bridges the supernatural and human elements by acknowledging angelic involvement, without suggesting literal angel-human hybrid offspring. The Nephilim could be seen as mighty warriors influenced by demonic power rather than literal angelic offspring. It avoids the theological issue of angels marrying humans while maintaining the influence of fallen angels in corrupting humanity. Still, it relies on speculation, since the text does not mention demon possession. It is not explicitly supported by any direct biblical passage. Which interpretation is most accepted? The fallen angels' view was widely accepted in ancient Jewish literature, including the book of 1 Enoch, the book of Jubilees, an ancient Jewish text that retells and expands upon the stories in Genesis and Exodus, offering a different perspective on early biblical history and law, and the writings of Philo of Alexandria and Flavius Josephus, first-century Jewish writers and historians whose works provide valuable insights into Jewish life and thought during the Second Temple period. Many early church fathers, such as Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, and Tertullian, supported the fallen angels' view. Among reformers and modern evangelicals, the Sethite view became more popular, largely promoted by Augustine, John Calvin, and other reformers, who saw angelic human unions as too problematic. Among contemporary scholars, views are mixed, but many biblical scholars and theologians acknowledge the fallen angels' view as a legitimate interpretation, even if not universally accepted. Ultimately, regardless of interpretation, Genesis 6 warns us about moral corruption, spiritual compromise, and human pride, all of which led to divine judgment through the flood. We choose to go with the Sethite view. We hold that intermarriage between the descendants of Seth and Cain led to a rapid increase in wickedness, as the righteous lineage became corrupted through these unions. In the antediluvian world, humans possessed remarkable physical and mental capabilities. One author notes that in that time there were many men of great stature and strength, renowned for wisdom, skillful in devising the most cunning and wonderful works. However, these gifts were misused for self-glorification rather than honoring the Creator. The people became corrupt in their imaginations, leaving God out of their plans and counsels, which led to widespread moral decay. Persistent rejection of divine mercy ultimately resulted in the destruction of the antediluvian world by the flood. Genesis 6 is more than an ancient mystery. It is a lesson in how sin multiplies when left unchecked. The world before the flood became increasingly wicked, showing the consequences of moral compromise, spiritual corruption, and the rejection of God's ways. Whether through fallen angels, the mixing of godly and ungodly lineages, or tyrannical rulers, the outcome remained the same. Humanity turned away from God, leading to divine judgment. Yet, even in the midst of judgment, God preserved a faithful remnant through Noah, offering a picture of grace and redemption. This passage reminds us that no matter how dark the world becomes, God always provides a way for those who seek Him. As we navigate our own spiritually challenging times, may we remain steadfast in our faith, trusting in God's guidance and standing apart from the corruption around us. Father, help us to remain faithful in a world that often turns away from You. Give us wisdom to discern truth, strength to resist compromise, and hearts that seek Your righteousness above all else. May we walk with You, like Noah did, trusting in Your grace and living as lights in a darkened world. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.